Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back. We'll continue on page 169.
169.
Yeah. You missed a lot of.
I did. How did you get that far?
We skipped the part.
No,
there
you go. Couple chapters there. No. Did I miss 5 weeks?
No. There was like homework. This to read that meditation he wrote there. So.
Sorry.
And be ready because big jump is coming soon. Yeah. Well. All right, we have started to talk or to think, read about his, about the theme is repentance. Very important, and I think that he's going to bring us a lot of clarification what to understand under repentance. Because it was, when I was reading that, it was really amazing how wide is this theme, you know, what is covered under this term. And for sure it will help us to understand it more in depth. All right, so let's start.
The earthly path is full of flattery and deception. For him who first steps on this path, it appears as an unending field full of authentic realities. For him who is at the end of the road, it seems extremely short and full of empty dreams. Glory and riches and all other perishable acquisitions and benefits that the blinded sinner wastes his entire earthly life seeking, all his spiritual and bodily strength, all this he must leave in that moment when the soul is forcefully stripped of its clothing, his body. At that moment, when the soul is led by inexorable angels to the judgment of the righteous God, a God whom he knows not, whom he disregards. Repent.
Yeah. Very powerful words. And I was reading them today. Yesterday I got a message that one priest died in Slovakia. And this priest was very close friend my father. Their parishes were really like, they were like neighbors for many years, and it was common that each Sunday afternoon this priest from neighborhood, they gathered, usually in our house. And while they were trying to solve all problems of church and universe, you know, and but it was for me, as I was boy and teenager and was there, and it was always amazing to listen to this, their discussions, because you could feel that there is a love for church, love for people, and to searching for answers, you know, how to solve some problems they were facing at the time. It was a wonderful testimony for me and inspiration. And When I was reading these words, I thought about him because he was always like some kind. He was funny guy. He had easygoing, like nature and friend with everybody, doing many things. He was for many years rector of seminary. Then he got big parish and he did amazing job there. So you can say that, well, he really did a lot of work. But everything's gone. Like this moment of death, everything's gone. One thing, and another thing is that it seemed to me like yesterday when I was sitting in this like chair, small chair, listen to these big guys talking about these little problems. It was like yesterday. And so life goes this way, very fast, very, very fast. And what he's saying in these words, he reminds us this shortness of life. Even we have in our mind, there is this perspective of long life. This future looks always like long, you know. But when it's gone, so when you look back, everything looks so short. So it means that when he reminds this to us, the shortness of life, when we realize that each decision has value and somehow pushes us towards heaven or not. So it is this thought about the shortest life has power to bring us to repentance. Because our reaction to the thought about shortness of life cannot let us without answer, somehow inner answer. And this answer is always this call for change, good change, repentance, to start to walk on good path. And we know that it is our experience, maybe more intense or less intense, but we feel that. But many times we are like stuck, that, well, we want, but we cannot somehow move. We feel that, well, we are somewhere in place of life with good intention, but we feel that we are not able to make this step to move. Yesterday's gospel was about that, you know, about this decision of this young man, rich man, who was searching for eternal life. And he was challenged by Christ, and he was not able to make this step, and he left Christ with sadness in his heart. And saints who teach about spiritual life, they say that, well, we have to find this courage to cut off those things which keeps us in this state, in this limbo, that we are not able to move forward. Like Saint Isaac the Syrian, he says that there is a beauty, and we cannot somehow gain this beauty if we don't start to hate the world. This beauty, he means really this knowledge of God, this vision of God, this, well, it's difficult to explain that in our words, human words, but we can have this, like, we know that something is there, and we can't reach it. And he said, well, this is because you still love this world. If you love this world, you are not able to to go further and to gain this beauty which is prepared for you. It is not that somebody doesn't, the God doesn't want to give you that. It is just because you decided to love things of this world more. And so this is words, and this is order, repent, and it will repent through this chapter many times. Repentance means to change the settings of our life. And in this portion, he gives us this really strong argument. Look at your shortness of life. It counts. Decision you are making today, they count. Because you can come to the end of your life, and well, you can make right decision in the end if you are able to receive grace God will give you, but how many things you missed which was given for you or prepared for you. So we should not waste with our life, and really if we keep this spirit of repentance within us, it helps us to make correct decisions. Right, questions or comments? Very good. So let's continue. Okay. The paragraphs.
People work in hurry to enrich themselves with knowledge, but only trifling knowledge, useful only for a time, necessary only for the gratification of the needs, comforts, and desires of an earthly life. That knowledge and action that is so essential and for which we have only a short earthly life, we completely despise the knowledge of God and reconciliation with Him through the mediation of the Redeemer. Repent. Brothers, let us look objectively through the light of the gospel into our earthly life. It is useless. All its goods are taken away by death, and often before this, by various unexpected circumstances. These goods, so perishable, so fleeting, do not even deserve to be called goods. More likely, they are lies, traps. Those who are caught in these snares are deprived of the true, eternal, heavenly, spiritual goods, which are given by faith in Christ and emulation of Him along the mysterious path of the gospel life. Repent.
So he continues in that what he said before, but he goes to more details. But from these words, when I was thinking about these things, is that what he calls us to raise our spirit to these great ideas, not to live average life, to live for something, actually for God. And I remember when I was working on this part to make preparation, and I remember that day somebody put on Facebook one picture, and from that time several times it came out, somebody shared this, and in that picture was a photo of soldiers, those who started the D-Day in Normandy, and it was in this small boat which was like loaded with soldiers, and they were like going to on this, and you could see these faces of these soldiers, and you said, well, those are almost children. And I really was thinking about them and to see their faces, and I said, they know when this front is open, so half of them, they can die immediately. They knew that. And still they went. And I thought that I probably would be not able to do this. I don't know, maybe yes. But I said, what is What change came, I would say, now that there are so many these young men and even women at the time, they went there because they fought and they were ready to die for something that was bigger than they are. I think that we lost somehow this desire, this for this greatness, this understanding of this greatness, this ability to sacrifice for big things. And it is I think that it's connected with like some kind of declination of faith and spiritual life too. Because spiritual life gives you purpose. God and faith give you purpose even to die, to sacrifice life for God, for holiness, for salvation. And I think that this formation, spiritual formation which was there, and this understanding somehow afflicted whole society in some way, that people were able to give life for something what was bigger. They were not cowards, and they maybe not so selfish as I don't want to make any that to put everybody to one box, but it is something that what is missing now. We have to gain back this way of thinking. One priest in homily said that it was homily he gave to catechists who were doing, like, we have ECF, this beginning of school year. So something similar, and he told them that, look, don't be afraid to introduce to children these big ideas and challenges gospel gives us. Because he said, we are not afraid that children cannot understand. They can. And he said this story about Dominic Savio. I don't know if you are familiar with. He was one of these boys of Don Bosco, a priest, and I read the book as a boy, and I remember that, and he used the same thing, and probably had the same, not the same, but similar experience, because this young boy, he said, he lived with this thought, better to die than to sin. And he really led really holy life. And he died very young. And this priest in homily said this to this catechist, and said, Don Bosco, he gave him this goal, this radicalism, this big goal of life. And this boy was able to receive that, and he fulfilled that. And he said, I read that book as a boy in the same age, and he said, this was one of impulses which led me to priesthood. So he said, he told them, well, don't be afraid of to introduce children to these great, challenging, you know, ideas gospel brings us, gives us. And this is what, well, let's not talk about education, raising children, you know, this is another topic, but even like for us, many times we say that, parents are not raising children correctly, they love them everything, they spoil them. The truth is that they are doing that because they are spoiled. they are not reaching out for these big goals in their life, so they are not able to challenge their children to lead them to understand these big things. Value of sacrifice, value of fighting for a virtue, good life, value that it is important to fight against passions to change the character. Because you cannot give what you don't have. We cannot expect parents who don't know how to live this life, they would introduce children to this life. But I think that we all are infected with that in different measure, this society was teaching us to always to choose easier life. There is always, I remember, you know, Michael Scala, you know him, and we had like work, day of work, a men's group, and there was some, so I was working with Charlotte to do some, well, anyway, digging, and he came to me, wow. You are, yeah, I consider you are stupid Slovak. We have mechanism for that. You know, and he was joking. He was right. Or for sure, we have a lot of tools now which make our work easier. But somehow we are losing something in this sacrifice people were bringing in this manual labor. It taught them something, you know, like to persist, how to give effort, how to sacrifice to accomplish something. Yes, he came with this his bulldozer and work I was working, he did in like 5 minutes, what would probably take me like maybe 2-3 hours, maybe more. But through this, we are even like that. It was teaching tool somehow for us. But I don't say now that we have to refuse all the things and to give up all this help we have through technology. But I think that we should challenge every day ourselves to reach for greatness. And again, only then we are able of repentance. Because if you live like easy average life, you are satisfied. You have nothing in your life which would cry out that, well, you are not so good, you know, or you should improve. But if you have in your life this desire for greatness, for holiness, for heaven, for sainthood. So then each day brings you, each moment gives you enough opportunity to grab this thought that I must repent when I cry out to God that I'm sorry. I failed again. So this desire for greatness helps us to keep the spirit of repentance in our hearts. Okay. Comments, questions? It's easy. So let's continue.
We are in such a frightening blindness. How obvious this blindness becomes through our falls. We see the death of our brother. We know that it will definitely come for us, and maybe soon, because no one has ever remained indefinitely on earth. We see that many, even before their deaths, are betrayed by this so-called earthly happiness that often turns into earthly misery, similar to a daily taste of death. Despite this vivid experiential proof, we rush after only earthly goods as if they were permanent, eternal. All of our attention is absorbed only in them. God is forgotten. majestic and awful eternity is also forgotten. Repent. Brothers, these perishable goods will most definitely betray us. Rich men will be betrayed by their riches. The powerful will be betrayed by their glory, the young by their youth, and the wise by their wisdom. There is only one eternal, essential good that a person may acquire during his earthly sojourn: true knowledge of God, reconciliation and union with God given by Christ. But to receive these highest of goods, one must leave the life of sin. One must hate it. Repent.
Yeah. We can ask what he's talking about. We can ask what kind of connection it is with the theme of repentance. Because what he says here is that, well, that we need make this step of detachment from the world. We have to cut off everything what is not important. Again, we should not, especially for us who live in the world, we have to, it's difficult actually, for monks it's easier because, in one way, because they really give up in one moment. Yes, they have this temptations for sure after, but it was an some kind of clear visible step for them, and there are in environment which helps them to remember that detachment they are supposed to do through environment as a building, a monastery, or through other brothers in monastery. But for us in the world, it's quite difficult to make really decision what and to this to make the discernment what is necessary for life, what is already like dead weight, which causes that I cannot walk towards God. And many people have problem with that, to make this distinct, to recognize that. But good advice for this is that we are not alone in this process. Everything what we are supposed to do is to make first step. We might not see now in this moment all these attachments, this our love with this world. We might be not able to recognize it now, but we can recognize maybe one or two very clearly. So the call is to cut off those things. And once we make this first step, when we show this our willingness to make this progress, God's grace will reveal us another step, step by step. Spiritual life is never about some big jumps. If you want to make big jump and to become saints during like night, it's impossible. It is illusion. It's always small steps. And when we make this, we have to understand this, that this is very important even to gain this spirit of repentance. Because like Isaac Sirian, he says that If heart is filled with world, this heart cannot receive wisdom from above. That we are not able to see life, this wisdom is especially to see ourselves, who we are and who God is. But if our heart is filled with world, with these attachments with world, we are not able to see. And this is like big problem that, like we say, it's, we can understand many times by that, that if somebody, you say, how can you believe? You know, we have so many friends or maybe even relatives, and they gave up faith, they don't believe, or they are so lukewarm that, well, they don't care. But if we, what we can start to look what they love in the, in their life, we can really can find that there are many things which fill their lives. And this is why they cannot see. They cannot receive this wisdom or this knowledge from above. And this knowledge from above is something, it's this kind of vision of these heavenly things. But suddenly, eyes are open and I see myself in real light and I see who God is, I see my future, I see my destiny in paradise or in hell. And it immediately calls us to repentance. You cannot, if you have this moment, you cannot like just to let it go. You start to think about it, you start to cry, you start to pray, you start to beg God for forgiveness. But this moment will not come until we are filled with world. And this is, and you know that, that many people, they return back to God or they find their faith when they are in some kind of crisis. When they go, they are really down. They have difficulties when, for example, sickness comes, which takes away everything they liked before. They cannot do these activities anymore because of sickness. They are stripped off, and he says, you know, of something, they are naked, and they start to see. They are receiving this, they are open to this knowledge which comes from heaven, and they start to think differently about life. Or there are difficulties in life, many problems. You can lose your job, you can lose, you can be in problems caused by others, really difficult times, and usually those are things when God takes away something from us, we are able to see clearer. And this is why we should never complain when suffering comes to our life. Because many times it is really God's love which causes that, because it takes away everything from us with some kind of violence, just to give us opportunity to see, to receive this knowledge from above, maybe can start this process of repentance, changing of life. So we should always be thankful in these times and really asking God, what do you want me to see? What is your message for me through this? No comments, questions? So let's continue.
Repent. What does it mean to repent? A certain great holy father answers this question, St. Pimen the Great. It means to admit and feel remorse for one's sins, to abandon one's sins, and to never return to them. In this way, many sinners become saints, many wicked men become righteous. Repent. Reject not only the obvious sins, murder, theft, fornication, slander, lying, but also sinful entertainments, pleasures of the flesh, sinful fantasy, and unlawful thoughts, everything forbidden by the Gospels. Wash away your previous sinful life with tears of sincere repentance.
Yeah. Well, not pleasant, not pleasant. There are nice words, but disturbing words, because he calls us, using these words of St. Pimen, he calls us to acknowledge our weakness, our sins. And not only acknowledge, just to feel sorry for them and never return back to them. It's difficult. But he says that many sinners became saints through this. And I think that this was always in the church. When we read books, literature from each century almost, this is the same theme we can find always, but last century, this century, something was changed. And I think that we have started maybe this change of society, even in church. This was this trend to make religious life, love, faith more comfortable or easier, acceptable. That we forgot to remind this challenge which comes from gospel, and we were searching like ways how to enjoy faith without a lot of sacrifices or satisfy. And sometimes it seems that even like church in some aspects changed and became like earthly organization, just providing some kind of good things for members, but without this fulfilling this main goal, which is salvation of soul. I don't know, how long is it what Ephraim in Arizona died? It's like several months?
A year.
Maybe almost a year. Not a year. It's not. Well, anyway, this founder of this monastery of St. Anthony, I mentioned him several times because then he founded like a lot of almost 20 monasteries here in North America. And he came from Mount Athos, and when he saw this spiritual thirst of people, so he started his monasteries, this authentic, this renewed tradition, which was started with Elder Joseph. And after his funeral, when it was a big event, and there was one priest from Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. He wrote somewhere, and it was circulating on Facebook. Many people shared that, and he wrote there that we bishops and priests of America, that we for 70 years were trying to bring people to the church. So through festivals, he said, and we know that Greeks, they have big festivals and they make a lot of money there. So he said that we were preparing these festivals, we were preparing meals, and that we had fun always. And he said, we forgot prayer, we forgot confessions, we forgot almost everything that was our spiritual tradition. He said, we even didn't think that we need monasteries because we thought that, well, it's not necessary for this new world. And he said, we had all these good plans, programs, everything, nothing worked. And he said, and he wrote that, and then this little monk, because he was not a big guy, this little monk came and he said, no theological education, no titles. He had no programs and activities to speak about. But he just reminded us, spiritual tradition, he said, he reminded us that we should pray, make vigils, make confessions. He said he never called to festivals, he never called that for fun activities. And he said, and people came to him. People didn't come, he wrote it, people didn't come to us who had all these big things for people prepared, easy, funny. People came to him and he filled his monasteries with people. And many people found this refreshment, spiritual refreshment in his monasteries. And when I was reading this, what he wrote, and really I felt this way, you know, and true is that I was somehow making some kind of repentance, because this was something what I was doing in some way. Because when I came here and this first year in America, I was trying to understand life here, culture and church life. So everybody was telling me, you know, you have to have a lot of activities in your parish. You know, you have to have prepare a lot of things because it attracts people. And it was always bothering me, you know, that, okay, if you are doing it, then why churches are not so full, you know? But I believed, well, I trusted this, you know, people, but, and you know that we were doing that, and I was supporting that. But what was our experience? We had a lot of wonderful activities here. Many people came for these activities, but nobody came to the church. And it is interesting that majority of our members, well, new members who came in these years, nobody came through this fun and activities prepared. They came without that. Not because of that. Patrick is one of them.
Pardon?
Then you are one of them. We were the first one.
Did you what?
Who joined our church when I...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And you didn't come because of meal that we provided or this funding and many others. And this is for me like... This is why we stopped to do this. Well, we still do some, but not in this measure. But there is something more important. And if we take, I'm just saying this like things like from life of parish. This is very nice to see now that many people are starting to come. Maybe they don't come for liturgy. Sometimes they stay for the liturgy, so you can see them. But relatively many people, they come for confession. It's amazing. And it's sometimes, you know, interesting how they know that to come. But probably their accommodation. But all those people, I would love to have in our parish, because us people who have this search for a deeper spiritual life, and they really are searching for something, and I think that this is my dream, like somehow to become this place, to become this center when people can come and to get what they are thirsty for. And I think the same thing is with us as individuals. When we remove those things which are not essential, now it is very essential workers, essential jobs, you know. Maybe we should do this in our selected life, that to really keep only those things which are essential for our life. Many things we can see that are important, that they bring some kind of success. But I think that we should give up on those things to keep this essential. And who knows how many people will be attracted to us. Saint Pisces from Athos, he says that if you start to take care of yourself, spiritual life, and you start to grow in virtue, you start to conquer something, to passion, when you're doing that, so virtue is starting to grow. He said that people can smell it. It is like you put a very precious perfume and people can smell it, and people who are searching God, they will be around you. And it will be good for you because they will support you to grow. It will be good for them because you will support them to grow. I think that this is what we are really supposed to try to do in our life. Cut off everything what is maybe we hold as important, but it's not important in God's eyes. All right. Comments? Question? Nothing? Good! So, another one.
Do not say to yourself in your despair and spiritual paralysis, I fell into heavy sins. I acquired sinful habits through a long sinful life. With time, they have become like congenital defects. They have made repentance impossible for me. These dark thoughts are inspired by your enemy, whom you still do not notice or understand. He knows the power of repentance, and he fears that it will tear you from his grasp. So he tries to distract you from repentance, ascribing weakness to God's all-powerful treatment.
Yeah. Well, these are very important words because they bring hope for us, or for us, for those who, when they look at their spiritual state, they are giving up hope for possible change. And those people who make this resignation when they see that need for change, but they give up, I think there are two groups of those people. There are first group, I would say, that are people who lived a long life in some kind of ignorance about, they didn't care about anything like what is spiritual. And when they are touched by God's grace and they see the fruit of life in sin, they are really, really sad. But in them, we have to remember that at the moment of God's grace, there is a temptation too. And our enemy gives us these dark thoughts that change is impossible, that I wasted my life, it's over, I cannot do anything. And so there's a resignation and this calling to repentance which comes from above. And there is a second group, I would say, there are those who start to live like a religious life. They try to follow commandments, they try to do good deeds, but still they still keep one foot on this earth. They they didn't make this radical decision that, well, yes, this is life. They still have this, like, they keep this some kind of like insurance that they don't want to give up totally on this old world. Even they say that, well, I believe everything gospel says, they even understand that this is truth and there is correctness, and but still they are not able to make this real decision. Yes, I want to be saint, I want to be holy. Because they feel that, well, this is not for me. And they are satisfied with some kind of compromise that I can live with that. Anyway, maybe it's, if we search, so probably we would find ourselves in that second group. You know, that while we try to be good Christians, but without this big aspiration and radicalism for holiness. But we have to remember that this kind of position was forced to us through our enemy. That it is work of evil one who put to our mind the thought. So I think that conclusion of this paragraph for us is that we should remember always, remember that this existence of this enemy, which wants to keep us on this earth. This is one thing. And another thing is that we should have always in our mind power of God's grace, which can, through our repentance, can totally heal us and conquer even these ties of this our enemy. Okay, I think we can finish for today here. It's almost 1 hour. So I think those are very powerful words we heard today, and many times it is even these few paragraphs. A conference with, I don't know who said this one, saying that sometimes one sentence from gospel is enough for your salvation if you try to keep it. So we just keep this what we heard today. It might bring us to heaven. So thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.